DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. Monsignor Essef is a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Teresa of Calcutta. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essef encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by Pope St. John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, and sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. What's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Today is such a wonderful day. When we get to this point of Lent, all of us have been saying each day, "Have mercy on me, O Lord." And I believe our awareness of our sinfulness before God has become more and more apparent. But yet there may be those of us who are self-righteous and still haven't come to the point where we are aware of that our righteousness is not from ourselves, but from God. And so we have this beautiful gospel of John, where in that seventh chapter, Jesus is in the presence of this sinful woman, the adulteress. The magnificent teaching that he has for all of us sinners. Jesus went to the temple, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the midst. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. So what do you say?" Then they said this to him to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. You see, at that time, the Jews were not allowed to exercise capital punishment because they were under the Romans. Yet the law of Moses said that such a woman should be stoned to death. So they were testing him. In other words, should we keep the law of Moses? And if we do, then they're going to accuse him of not respecting capital punishment, which he eventually died in, which was the Romans' capital punishment, was crucifixion. So they weren't allowed to exercise capital punishment. And that's how they attempted to catch him in his words. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. Now, I'm sure this is a time that his eyes are meeting theirs also. And what he's writing there has something to do with each individual, because he was able to interpenetrate hearts and knew where they were coming from. Again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, because they see this coming forth, he is beginning to expose them to themselves. They went away one by one, beginning with the elders. Their consciences were being disturbed. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin any more." And so Jesus sees the poor woman. She has been totally stripped and embarrassed before all the world to look at her. And this pathetic person now, frightened, exposed, and about to be condemned by these self-righteous people. The Lent that we have before us, that Jesus wants us to consider, is all of us are sinful. What has happened here? We, all of us, have come to Jesus and remained with him. The example of those who go away from Jesus, they'll never be able to discover and find out their brokenness. Those especially who are there in the presence and with Christ, the only Savior, the only Redeemer is Jesus Christ. Again, Paul in this Eucharist and in this celebration today on the fifth Sunday of Lent, we're coming close to that time, and he is giving us a most magnificent teaching in today's epistle that is from the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, I consider everything as a loss because of the surpassing good of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have accepted the loss of all things, and I consider them as so much rubbish in comparison to having Jesus. That's exactly what our new Holy Father, Pope Francis, said. It is Christ. What is the center of the church? What is the center of life? Jesus. It's Jesus who is our Savior. Everything else is so much rubbish. And he goes on, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having any righteousness of my own based on the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. What makes us righteous? What gives us holiness? Jesus. Only Jesus. And that's what Paul is saying. And so in this journey of faith, we totally are dependent and depending on faith to know him and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his suffering by being conformed to him and to his death. Our baptism has united us with Jesus. We are united with his death, his suffering, and his resurrection. If somehow I may attain to that resurrection from the dead, it is not that I have already taken hold of it or have already attained perfection and maturity in it, but I continue my pursuit in hope that I may possess it, since I have indeed been taken possession of by Christ. Beloved brothers and sisters, Jesus has possessed you. He has taken hold of you. And in your Lenten journey, let go of what has gone by. Just continue to pursue at what lies ahead of you, just like Paul, so that you may attain this union with Jesus Christ. None of us have attained it to perfection. brothers and sisters, I, for my part, do not consider myself to have taken possession of it. Just one thing, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is union with Jesus Christ that gives us our holiness, our righteousness, our goodness. All of us of ourselves are sinful. And so the woman taken in adultery, that was her brokenness. And she remained near Christ, and Christ was going to be her healing. Those others went away. But what are those things in me that need to still be changed at this particular time in Lent, this particular season, this time? What prevents me from being united with Jesus Christ? It's my sinfulness. It's your sinfulness. But what is that, that year after year, until now, you have many Lents that you spent in the past, but what is your brokenness? What prevents you from union with Jesus Christ? Paul's heart and desire as a saint, as a call to holiness, yearns to be one with Christ. Christ is the center of his life, and he is the center of my life and your life. He is the fullness of our freedom, and he delivers us from our sinfulness. Are you a judgmental person? Do you have the mind of Christ? That's what is in the letter of the Philippians. Let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. You see, these Pharisees and these scribes were very ready to judge others. Is that the kind of mind you have? Do you like to put people down? Do you like to bring their faults in front of other people? What is your brokenness? These Pharisees could have been healed and need to be healed. There is an area of my heart and your heart that is very Pharisaical, that is very much like those who drifted away. When Jesus interpenetrates your heart this Sunday, when you go to Mass, when you're looking at Christ in your own heart, what is it that separates you from Christ? Many people have a very envious nature. They're jealous. They just have this tendency that when someone is honored and when someone receives a position, they feel very jealous and envious of others. Instead of rejoicing in all the goods that belong to the body and the members of Christ, are you envious and jealous? Are you judgmental and see the speck in your brother's eye and don't see the wooden beam in your own? Are you unforgiving? Is there someone in your life that you're holding a grudge against, an anger toward? On this particular Lent, maybe lust, as with this woman, is that which prevents you from full union with Jesus Christ. Maybe greed and a lack of charity toward the poor is what prevents you. What is it that keeps me from having that magnificent freedom that Paul talks about? Actually, Christ wants to possess me. So much does he love me. The love of God through the Holy Spirit has been poured forth into each of our hearts. At this particular coming of Easter. God wants the whole world to rejoice in union with his Son, Jesus Christ. We and our righteousness has been won for us by Jesus Christ in his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. That same suffering is taking place in you. That's what Paul is talking about in the Philippians. That same dying and that same death can occur in you. In your Lenten journey, as we come on our way to Good Friday and Easter, as we bring our brokenness, our sinfulness, what is that in us that needs to be healed by the blood of Christ so that he can change us and transform us? I find many times, too, in this fear. Fear can be when I see in my soul fear and anxiety and worry. It just shows me that I have lacked in trust, to put my trust in our Lord so that these fears can overtake me, that a need for that virtue of hope. Yes, I have faith, but I really need more and more trust in God with regard to my job, with regard to the health of my daughter, with regard to whatever circumstance that I am worried, nervous, and anxious about, that I don't live my life in a constant panic and fear. To have the calm, the peace of Christ as I go toward the celebration of Easter, that there will be the fullness of union with Christ. Don't worry about what lies behind. Your many, many failures. Oh, I fail so many times. I'll never be able to change. That's not the disposition of Paul or a Christian. Forget what lies behind. You can have the greatest sins in the world on your soul with regard to alcohol, with regard to drugs, with regard to any kind of brokenness in the past, pornography. Maybe that's the way the Satan has been entering into your mind and your soul and heart. Do not be discouraged. Jesus is my personal Savior. Jesus is the purity and wholeness of my heart and yours. Union with Christ is righteousness. I cannot gain righteousness on my own. Righteousness is given to me through Christ, and he has claimed me for his own through my baptism. All of us have the most magnificent gift of the sacrament of reconciliation, of the power to confess to God my brokenness, and to have that healed. Sometimes it's to really begin to know and become acquainted with what that particular core wound is that has caused me all my life to hemorrhage. All my life, this tumor that's in my soul that needs healing. All my life, this brokenness that needs to be healed and repaired. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that heals and sanctifies each of us. That this beautiful Good Friday that bore that blood and is called good is poured forth from the side of Christ onto each one of us and cleanses us. Though your sins be as scarlet, I shall make them as white as snow. We are called to holiness. We are called to be one with Christ. He is our righteousness.
Monsignor,
we may realize we need to work in deepening our relationship and asking the Lord for healing. That can become very transformative for us, except there are those times when we're so very quick to point the finger at others and say what they're doing wrong. Especially within the church, when we look at other Catholics who we don't feel are living the Catholic life the way we think they should be living the Catholic life. How dangerous is that for us?
Well, there you have it with the Pharisees. You know, they were, you know, if you notice that someone who points the finger at another, there's three fingers pointing back at yourself. The person who is so quick to notice the faults and the failings of others and fails to look at themselves are going to be, they're really doomed. They're so concentrating on the other's brokenness. And it's very prevalent. That's Pharisaical. Even I have to be very careful in pointing out, because it's a very important teaching that Jesus, when he was teaching there in the temple, he's teaching the word of God. He's bringing to us divine life. He's bringing to us sanctification. Jesus came into the world to sanctify us, to make us holy. And that holiness comes into each of us through this magnificent gift that he gave us of baptism, through the wonderful sacrament of confirmation, through the wonderful gift of the Holy Eucharist. What is he calling us to in our sacramental life? Union with himself. There is no other righteous one. The one who brought salvation to the whole world is Jesus Christ. And no one from the time of Adam and Eve down to Jesus and until the end of time will ever be righteous or self-righteous. There's nothing I can do to gain my own salvation. Many times we look at ourselves, and maybe the way we examine ourselves is very poor. No one can tell his own brokenness with his own eyes. Introspection does not reveal to me my brokenness. The only one who can reveal to me my separation from Christ is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who unites me with Christ. It is the Holy Spirit who shows me and convinces me that I am separated from him. The evil spirit, the devil, accuses us and is constantly accusing us of our sinfulness. The devil is an accuser, and many times his accusations, day and night, that's what he does to us, are false and lies. Even many of us, one of the greatest and most horrible things that the devil can get us into is despair. You will never change. You are so rotten. You are so miserable. You are so depraved. You could never overcome that weakness you have. And the devil is pointing the finger and showing us and indicating to us our faults. The word Satan means accuser, Satan. The Holy Spirit is the one who convinces us. The Holy Spirit reveals to me how miserable and unhappy I am by being away from that union with Christ, who is our peace, our joy, our love. The fruit of union with Jesus Christ, this particular Easter, this fruit which is being offered to us, is serenity and peace. And in your sin, you cannot have this. And in the Holy Spirit, you can become more and more convinced that only in Him do I reach out. And that magnificent way that Paul expresses it in his epistle today. It is not that I have already taken hold of it or have already attained perfection or maturity, but I continue my pursuit in hope that I may possess, since I have indeed been taken possession of by Christ Jesus. He has already possessed you. You are His. You belong to Him. You are one with Him in love. God has sent His Son, Jesus, into the world, and He has come into you, and the Holy Spirit is constantly perfecting you. And each of us is at various stages of being possessed by Christ and His love.
Any final thoughts, Monsignor?
Well, it's too early a time to break in the Alleluia. But when I think of that union that we have been called to, I think of an early Alleluia in the middle of Lent. You are and you belong to God. Jesus is in you. Rejoice and be glad. God bless.
Thank you so much, Monsignor.
Happy Fifth Sunday of Lent.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com, or you can find it within the free Discerning Hearts app. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, which is to offer rock-solid and authentic spiritual formation freely to souls around the world. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax-deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef.